Parashas Shemos. The Sefer of Shemos is called Sefer HaGeula. According to Ramban, we understand that the salvation, the Geula, of the Jewish people did not end with Yetzias Mitzrayim, it just began with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ultimately, the Geula is considered complete when they build a Mishkan, when they are successful in building a Mishkan, which serves as a centralized location for the people to perceive Hashem most clearly. And when Bnei Yisrael succeed in bringing the Shechina back down to this world here, they have recaptured, in a sense, the purpose of creation. Originally, Chazal tell us the Shechina was dwelling here on this earth. It was evident and obvious to all people that the Shechina was amongst us. The spiritual aspect of life was as real as the physical aspect of life in early creation. However, due to all the sins of the generations, the Shechina receded, in a sense, became more and more remote, and this world became a world where it became harder to feel and sense the Shechina, the true essence of the world among us. What was able to be understood with our five senses became the dominant forces in our life, and that which was theoretical or spiritual in nature became more remote, and it was hard to access. And our ancestors, starting with Abraham and Sarah, began the process of returning the Shechina level by level down to this world. And this culminated in the building of the Mishkan and Hashem's fire on that great day, Yom HaShmini, the day after all of the celebrations, the week-long celebration of Hakamas HaMishkan and Chanukas HaMishkan, setting up the Mishkan and sanctifying and preparing the Mishkan. Finally, the Jewish people congregated, they waited, they put their karbanos on the Mizbeach, and they waited to see if Hashem's fire would descend from heaven, which would be an indication to the people that they have succeeded in creating a spot where Hashem's Shechina would descend and dwell among us. And when the fire did come down and burn the karbanos on that day, Yom HaShmini, was a day of great celebration, perhaps even greater than Har Sinai, because at Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had come down and revealed himself to the Jewish people, and they stood by and witnessed it. But here they had put in the effort to build a Mishkan with purity and to create a sanctified place on this earth which would draw down Hashem's Shechina. It was at the result of their effort. And so this was the great achievement of the building of the Mishkan, and this represents the culmination of the Geula. And so this whole Sefer is called Sefer Geula, and it takes us, as we said, all the way till the end, through the building of the Mishkan. And yet it begins, the beginning of the Geula starts with Hashem's choosing Moshe to be the representative, to be the Shaliach, to bring about the Geula. And we know from reading in Parsha Shemos that Moshe is resistant in the beginning. And going way beyond the Pshat, which, if one reads simply and does not go deeply, they think that Moshe was resistant because he was insecure, or he was not sure of his ability to do this, or he was, whatever his issues were. Obviously, there's way more to it. And what we're going to see is every question that Moshe posed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every so-called element of resistance, opens the door for us to understand great philosophical issues. Moshe is asking about fundamental philosophical issues that pertain to him in the role of Shaliach to save the Jewish people. He's not having a personal, weakness. He is asking about things that he must understand and convey to the Jewish people. Now, what makes Moshe unique from everyone who came before him, starting with the Avos and the Imahos and all the great Jews before Moshe, what makes Moshe's Nevuah unique is that never before, Rambam explains, had any Navi been instructed to convey to others the message that God has given them. Many Nevi'im lived before Moshe. They received Nevuah. They were told what to do. But they were never told to be a representative to convey this Nevuah to other people. And Moshe needs to know, first and foremost, how will he convey God's prophecy to him, to other people, and make them believe that Hashem has spoken this to him? And what about the questions they will necessarily ask him to prove himself? How will he answer them? Moshe's faced with a completely new challenge. And that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the end gives Moshe Nisim, to allow him to demonstrate those Nisim in order to convince the people to some degree that Hashem truly has spoken to him. Now, the pasuk we're going to concentrate on, it's Moshe's first question to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Hashem gives him the speech in Perek Shmos, in Parsha Shmos, Perek Gimel, and he tells him that he has seen the suffering of the Jewish people and he's coming down to save them, and Pasuk Yud tells us, and va'ata en now lecha eshalachacha el paro, I am go, I am sending you to paro, v'hotze es ami b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim, and take my nation out of Mitzrayim. V'yom Moshe el Elokim, and Moshe said to Elokim, this is his first question, mi anochi ki elech el paro, who am I that I should go to paro? Now he obviously is on such a level of greatness that he is not saying to God, who me? Are you sure that's a good choice? He's not questioning Hashem's decision here to send him. He's asking a much more profound question. And our job here is to understand it. And the way to understand his question is by to analyze the answer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. So the question is, mi anochi ki elech al paro? Who am I that I should go to paro? V'chi otzi es b'nei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, and that I should take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Hashem's answer is, Vayomer, Hashem answers, Ki eya imach, because I will be with you. Now it's not clear at first glance how that's an answer to Moshe's question. And so the Mefarshim work here to explain how the answer fits the question. If we understood the question correctly, we'll see that this is a proper answer. Moshe says, who am I? And Hashem answers, because I'll be with you. And that's one statement. And then there's another statement in the Pasuk. V'zelecha ha'os, ki anochi shalachticha, and this is the sign that I've sent you. That's another statement. What is that referring to? What is the sign? And the end of the pasuk is, b'hotziyacha es ha'ami Mitzrayim, tavdun es Elokim al har hazeh, and when you will take this nation out of Egypt, you will serve Elokim on this mountain. Now this pasuk doesn't flow automatically. How do we read it? And so we've spent time in the past explaining Rambam's view, just for a moment, to see how Rambam reads the pasuk, because it's a critical idea. Rambam says, Moshe is asking, mi anochi, who am I that I am going to go to Paro and convey to Paro, let my people go, right? Who am I? Why will Paro believe me? And further than that, who v'chi otzias b'nei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, and how will b'nei Yisrael believe me? I speak in your name, but what is their proof in me? So Hashem says, I will be with you. And Zelcha Ha'os, Rambam says, is the following. This is the sign that I have sent you, that when you come back after taking the Jewish people out of Egypt to this mountain, you will serve Hashem on this mountain, which means to say, Moshe, you're asking a very good question. They really have no reason to believe you, that you speak in my name. And you're going to have to convince them that you speak in my name. And I'm going to give you some nisim along the way to help convince them. However, they're going to be skeptical, rightly so. Because the fact that you can do nisim only means, and the Baal Ikrim explains this, and Rambam, the fact that you can do nisim only means that you're a tzaddik, that Hashem is on your side, that God is responding. If you ask Hashem to do something, Hashem will do it. That you're an elevated person, but it doesn't mean that you are in a position to give them Torah. The only way that they will truly trust that you are a Navi Emes and they will accept Torah from you is when they will come to Har Sinai and hear me speak to you, then they will trust you. Until they themselves are elevated to the status of Nevi'im, they will not trust you 100% that you are a Navi, because they won't have experienced it on their own. So the Nisim are a temporary measure to get them to follow you into the desert until I can prove to them that you really are Navi Emes, and I trust you with my Torah. Even when we say in Davening, Vayaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe Avdo, by the Shira, the Sefer Ikrim explains that it means they trusted in Hashem and his servant Moshe. They trusted that Moshe was a tzaddik, that God would do nisim for him. Not that he was the Navi that is entrusted to convey Hashem's Torah. That would come later. So according to Rambam, Zelcha Ha'os, Shanochi Shalachticha, this is the sign that I sent you, is referring to the last part of the pasuk, when you come out of Mitzrayim and serve Hashem on this mountain, that will be the sign that I sent you. Until then, it's a temporary measure. Now, we're going to read according to Rashi. It's a totally different reading, and he doesn't see Zelcha Ha'os in the same way as Rambam. The ideas that you're hearing now really are expressed by Rav Soloveitchik, the core of these ideas, but we will elaborate and extend these ideas into other areas too. According to another reading of this pasuk, first we see Hashem says, Moshe says to Elohim, Mi anochi ki elech el Paro. He's asking the question, who am I to go to Paro? In other words, you've obviously decided Moshe is worthy, that's why you chose me from all human beings on earth. But what is my role here? Mi anochi, how will I introduce myself? Mi anochi, what is my role here as the shaliach to go to Paro? When I come and say, I'm speaking in God's name, how do I see my role? Now let's take this question a little further. It's very strange if you think about it. How do we know Moshe? Do we know him as Moshe Mishichenu? Moshe Goalenu? Moshe Rabbeinu? We know him as Moshe Rabbeinu, that means our Rebbe who taught us Torah. But what about Moshe's role as the savior, the one who went to Paro, the one who brought about the Makos, the one who led the Jews into a desert, the one who brought down the Man? What about Moshe, the Mashiach? Is that or is that not his role? Furthermore, notice, and remember this on Pesach, that there is no mention of Moshe in the Haggadah. Now, what does that mean? In other words, everything Moshe did as the Mashiach, the Savior, the leader, political leader, national leader, the spokesman for the Jewish people, it's almost like it dissolves and disappears into oblivion. He's not known for that. At the Seder, he's not given any credit for that. Even more so, we say at the Seder, Hashem makes it clear to us, Ani velo malach, Ani velo hashaliach, I'm the one saving you and not the messenger. There's no Moshe. Now Moshe is asking, so explain my role. Obviously you're choosing me to go to Paro and to convey your message as your shaliach, and then to go on to Bnei Yisrael and to convince them that I'm your shaliach. But in the end, my shlichus almost disappears. I'm not known for it. There's no credit given for it. It's not attributed to me. So who am I? Tell me my role. It's a strange role to play. How do I negotiate this role? How do I see myself? How do I convey my role to them? What position do I take? A dominant position? An almost irrelevant position in the end? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him, Ki eya imach, because I will be with you. Notice that which Moshe accomplished, as we said, on a political and national level, kind of disappears. Moshe's not known for it. But what Moshe is known for is Rabbeinu, to the extent that numerous times in the Navi, in Tanakh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will refer to his Torah as Toras Moshe. In fact, in the Haftorah of Parsha Shemos, the Torah is, David is speaking to his son Shlomo, and he tells him to uphold Toras Moshe. It's called Moshe's Torah. Moshe did not introduce anything into the Torah that was his own. It is not the creation of Moshe Rabbeinu. The reason we trust Moshe so much as the legitimate transmitter of Torah is because he did not introduce anything of his own into the Torah, because it comes directly from Hashem and it's authentic. It's not Moshe's agenda in there. And so what comes directly from God through Moshe, which is all Hashem's doing, is called Toras Moshe. And yet what comes through Moshe, the salvation and the Nisim and the guiding and leadership of Klal Yisrael, is not attributed to Moshe at all. It's almost counterintuitive. What belongs to a person in the end of their accomplishments and what doesn't? So we begin to see that what doesn't belong to a person is everything they achieved in the physical realm, as king, as leader, nation building, all of that is not Moshe's. And yet Moshe is mentioned in every parsha of the Torah except one, Tetzaveh, and every day a million times all over the world Moshe's name is mentioned in learning Torah, and the Torah is called Toras Moshe. That belongs to Moshe, and that is something that we would think is from God's domain, that human beings don't really have a hold on Hashem's Torah. The Chazal say that Hashem trusted Moshe so much with the Torah that it's like a king who says to a servant, you know, I want to buy a field over there. Do me a favor. Go buy the field and even sign your own name on the contract. All right? I have no worries that you'll ever claim that that field is yours. So what Moshe is asking here is, what kind of shaliach am I? There are two types of messengers in halacha. And Moshe is questioning his role, what type of messenger is he? There's a kind of messenger which is a proxy. The one sending the messenger says, look, go over there, take care of business for me over there. I leave it to your discretion, you use your own ingenuity, how to get the deal done. And when the deal is done, I credit you because you did it in a way that was very smart. And because of you, the deal was successful. You're a proxy. You go for me because I can't be there. I'm putting you in charge. I'm trusting you with the message, with the mission. For example, in Tanakh, in Torah, such a shaliach was Eliezer, Eved Avraham. Hashem said, you go over there and find a wife for Yitzchak. Do it to the best of your ability. Check her out. You know what I'm looking for. Get her to come back with you. I'm trusting you because I'm not going to do this. And in such a case, that shaliach is given credit for the successful completion of his job. That's one type of a shaliach. Moshe is not that shaliach, as you know, as we said. He's not given credit for what he's done. So what type of shaliach is he? Well, there's another type of shaliach. There's a shaliach like a shaliach tzibur. This shaliach tzibur represents or presents his shlichus while he is amongst those that he is representing. It's not as if they are allowing him to do the work because they can't do it, so they're sending him forward. He does his job, shaliach tzibur, someone who brings the prayers of the congregation to God while he is amongst his congregation. Without the congregation, the shaliach tzibur has no role. The people are merging and blending, and all of the prayers of all of the congregation merges and blends together, including the shaliach tzibur, and he presents them in his beautiful style, with because he is a person of deep sensitivity, hopefully, who knows how to pray properly, and is and connected and devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He takes the prayers of the people with him and presents them as one to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And notice that a shaliach tzibur doesn't stand in front of the congregation. He stands in the midst of the congregation. He's presenting for them. He exists with a united bond of trust, the people that he's representing. There's a certain merging of their identity, and he acts on their behalf in their presence. This is the kind of shaliach Moshe is being asked to be. Hashem is the tzibur, is the congregation, and Moshe is the shaliach tzibur. He's acting on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, what we're saying, and this explains the first words of Parshas Bo, Bo El Paro, next week's, 2 weeks Parsha. Bo El Paro, and everybody asks, what kind of structure is that? Come to Paro. He's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is sending him, go to Paro. And the way it's understood is, now with this as what we've been speaking about as a basis, Bo imadi el Paro, come with me to Paro. In other words, Hashem is conveying to him, the type of shaliach role, job now that you are taking, is you are allowing, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will to overtake you, to inhabit your very body. I will speak through your mouth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaber mitoch gerono. The Shechina, it says, medaberet, is speaking through the mouth of Moshe. Moshe is allowing himself to be completely enveloped, overwhelmed, taken over by the Shechina, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and will be used as a shaliach to carry out the designs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet in the end, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu acting, not Moshe. And Moshe disappears. Now, this is important for Moshe to understand, to convey to the Jewish people who he is, what's happening here, who's acting, who, when Moshe speaks, when Moshe acts, when they demand from Moshe, what's really at play. In other words, what Hashem is demanding from Moshe here is total bitul, total self-negation, to allow Hashem to completely overwhelm him and take control of Moshe. And Moshe should negate himself completely and allow himself to now be used as a conduit, a shaliach. This is how we read the pasuk now. He says, Mi anochi ki eilecha paro. Remember back in Vayigash, Moshe was asking Hashem a question. He said, when Yaakov was on his way down to Mitzrayim to meet Yosef, and he knew he was starting the gullus, he was afraid. And you came to him back in Perek Mem Vav in Bereishis, Pasuk Gimel, and you said, Al tira, don't be afraid, Merda Mitzrayma, from going down, Merda Mitzrayma, from going down to Egypt. Kilagoy gadol asimcha Hashem, I will make you into a great nation there. And then Hashem continued and said, Anochi ered imcha, I, in the word, using the word Anochi, I will go down with you, Mitzrayma, to Mitzrayim, ve'anochi, and I, Anochi, alcha gam alo, and I will bring you up. So Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi anochi ki eilech el paro. Am I now a substitute for Anochi? You promised Anochi, I will bring you up, and now you want me to. So Moshe understands what is his role, becomes a question. Am I now in place of Anochi? And how does that work? I am representing you, you're acting through me, I don't exist, and yet I do exist. And then comes the fundamental question. If so, if in the end there's no Moshe, it's only Ani v'lo ha-shaliach, Anochi, I will, what does Hashem need Moshe for at all? Why doesn't he just act as from heaven, open the skies and act? What does Hashem even need Moshe for? Why does Hashem act through Moshe? This is the fundamental question, which Moshe, again, is trying to understand, because he must convey to the Jewish people who he is and how they must view him and what role he's playing. Now, according to Rashi, Hashem answers, Ki eya imach. In other words, your question is totally legitimate. Who are you in this role? If it's Anochi, why do I have you here at all? He says, Ki eya imach. I will be with you. You are like a shaliach tzibur among the congregation, expressing the will of the congregation. You are with me. I am with you. I'm working through you. I will be imach, with you, right there. Part and parcel of every word you say. V'zeh l'cha ha'os ki anochi shalachticha. And this sneh is the sign that Anochi has sent you, and somehow we are united now and merged together. Because this sneh is like you, Moshe. A bush, a dry bush, a lowly bush. And here comes a fire from heaven, and is living, dwelling in the bush, and the bush is surviving, is not being consumed. So too you, Moshe, I will come to dwell right within you, and yet you will survive, And in the end, it's the fact that God is speaking through you and dwelling within you that is the dominant experience and understanding that people will have. And yet you are there as the sneh, which allows the medium that the Shekhinah will dwell through, but no one will notice, really, the lowly sneh. And so he says, this is the sign. And here's the Rashi. Rashi says, Zelachos, ha'os ke'anochi shalachticha. This is the sign. But tatzliach b'shlichosi, you will succeed in my job that I'm sending you on. He says, Kadai ani lahatzil, I will be able to save them. Kashera isa asne osa shlichosi, ve'enenu ukal, kach telech b'shlichosi ve'encha nizok. Just like the sneh is not consumed, you will go as my messenger with my shlichos, and you will not be harmed. You will be able to survive this. V'sheshalta mazuchos yesh lishol, because Rashi says he answered the first one first, and the second question second. I'm sorry if you backtrack a little bit. When you asked me anochi ki elecha paro, when you asked me, who am I to go to Paro? I answer, Lo shelchahi ki imi sheli. It's not from you, it's mine. It's all coming from me. And on the second one, he said, Who am I to go? What zechus does B'nai Yisrael have that I should take them out of Mitzrayim? He answers, the zechus is, and this is how Rashi reads the pasuk, that when you take them out, they'll come back here and they'll serve you on this mountain. They'll be elevated enough to receive the Torah. That's their zechus. In other words, at the moment, they might not have the appropriate zechuyot, but in the end, you'll see they'll be able to stand before Har Sinai. So Rashi's answering on both questions. But what we're seeing here is a strange new understanding of the role of the human being. In Moshe's case, he's only known for Rabbeinu, our teacher. He's not known for the jobs he did as the shaliach, as the messenger, as the goel, as the redeemer. In general, the big question, why does Hashem need Moshe at all if he has no role to play, really, if he is not known for his role? We suggest perhaps the two are linked. In order for Moshe to become Rabbeinu, Moshe the Rebbe, in other words, in order for Hashem to completely trust Moshe with his Torah, that he would not in any way manipulate it or introduce into it anything of his own interest, that it's precisely as Hashem conveyed it to Moshe, true Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to develop in Moshe a total self-negation so that he can be sure that when he conveys Torah to Moshe, Moshe will convey it correctly to Klal Yisrael. That Moshe will be the trusted Avdi, you know, my trusted servant, Ki b'chol beisi neman hu, of all my house, I trust him the most. This whole shlichus of Moshe, which he gets no credit for in the end, is perhaps a preparatory phase to bring Moshe to the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, which he is known for. Had he not achieved the ability to be completely mevatel, negate himself completely, allow Hashem to speak through him and overtake him in a sense and function, speak through Moshe's mouth, and he uses Moshe as this conduit. If Moshe is not able to achieve the Madrega of total self-negation to allow this to happen, and never expect any credit, and always be anav mikol adam, because he knows that it's Hashem speaking and Hashem acting, then he is capable of being trusted, not only by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but being trusted by the Jewish people, that the Torah he is conveying is authentic. So we have this phenomenon now, and it helps us understand something in tefillah. We say in the bracha before Shema, there are two brachas before Shema. Baruch Ata Hashem Yotzer Hamaoro, so that you create the lights. And then we have the bracha of Habocher B'Amo Yisrael B'Ahava, you choose the Jewish people. The first bracha is part of a longer section that talks about Hashem's rule over the physical world. It talks about our dependence and our recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the physical world. That's the concepts that end with Yotzer HaMa'oros, you create the great lights. And the second bracha of Ava Rabba it ends with Habocher ba'amo Yisrael bi'ava. That's our bracha about Hashem's granting us Torah. Now, in the bracha that in the end of the first bracha, which is Lekel Baruch and Imos Yitena, we have the following. We say Ki Hu Levado, because He alone, okay, Poel Gevuros, He is the doer of the great mighty deeds. Poel Gevuros Oseh Chadashos, He is the one who makes all the new inventions, everything that comes onto the scene, everything that it's Chadash that improves life. Baal Milchamos, He's the one who fights and wins the wars. Zorea Tzedakos, he is the initiator, the one that plants great acts of righteousness. Matzmiach Yeshuos, he allows salvation to sprout. Bore Refuos, He is the one who invents all the cures, etc. In other words, we say Ki Hu Levado, He's in charge of what we normally consider human accomplishment, political accomplishment, military success, scientific advancement, which we usually think is the hard work of human beings. We attribute it directly to God. Ki Hu Levado, alone, as if all those people that won Nobel, you know, prizes for their contributions in math and in economics and in military strategy and science, it's nothing. Hu Levado, Him alone. It's asking people to recognize that any of their gifts that they have used to produce something of value is just really attributes right back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's unusual. In fact, we have another example, something that we're so familiar with, sometimes we don't even think about it. The word lechem is like the shoresh of the word milchama, war, battle. Lechem is bread. Some people have a minhag when they make a bracha on lechem to eat it with their 10 fingers to show that there are 10 stages to making bread, which we actually, if you think about the halachas of Shabbos, the 39 halachas, choresh, zoreya, kotzer, till you get bread, there's so many stages. It takes a human being so much effort to produce bread. And yet, what is the bracha we make on bread? Hamotzi lechem in haaretz, as if these loaves of bread just popped out of the ground. And there's no human effort involved. It's counterintuitive. That is, the fruits and vegetables pop out of the ground with all very little human effort, but not bread. And so anything that the human achieves in the human sphere, in the physical sphere, we attribute to God. And then what we feel blessed to be receiving as like a free gift, the Matnas Chinam, which is God's Torah, which somehow our brains have the capacity to understand truths that emanate from a completely separate world, a spiritual world, a transcendent world, and our brain can grasp ideas that are abstract and spiritual in nature, and they come to us sometimes, ideas and even chidushim and depths of understanding just pop into a person's head after they struggle perhaps with a question in the learning and they don't understand it, and then they're given an answer, and we think this is a free gift from God. That's called the persons. That belongs to the person. That's Toras Moshe. It's exactly the opposite. Now, this is what we say in Tehillim. The first perek in Tehillim expresses this idea. Rashi says it. The first perek, the second pasuk. Ki im betoras Hashem cheftzo. We're talking about the tzaddik here, right? The one who doesn't care for the fools and those that waste their time and the wicked. Ki im betoras Hashem cheftzo. The Torah of God is His desire. Rashi says here, when he starts learning, it's called Torah Hashem. But when he puts in effort and exerts himself to understand Torah, it changes. It's no longer called Torah Hashem. It's almost, in a sense, transferred into the person's property, and it's called Ubetoraso Yege Yomam Valaila. And in his own Torah, the person now owns it. He struggles and he strives day and night. It goes from Torah Hashem to Torasso. It becomes the person's Torah. That's what we have in the end. That's our possession. Now, it's hard for a person to see themselves, and this was also Moshe's original first challenge, to see themselves as playing such an important role in the development of the world and then taking no credit for it. He knew that right away. No credit will be given to him for all the things he does as a human leader. And what he will be given enormous credit for is the Torah which he stands as a Navi, it receives it and conveys it with almost no personal involvement at all, without any initiative, without any creativity, without his own effort. All the things he did to get the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim that took human effort, convincing Paro, arguing with Paro, you know, all of that. Receiving the Torah from Hashem and conveying to the Jewish people doesn't demand any of that. Just has to make himself a conduit. That's already his. That's called Torah Moshe. So in the end, what does a person have as their own possession? Who is a person? Well, we see from Moshe, he's only Moshe Rabbeinu. So it puts a completely different spin, and it's difficult to see what Hashem demands from us in our role as, and everybody plays this role, in some degree of another or another, as a shaliach, to bring something about in the world. This is demanding, first and foremost, from Moshe and from everyone who contributes something for the betterment of the Jewish people or the world, a self-negation. A willingness, in the end, to take no credit for what we're doing. And to realize that only the Torah that a person learns and integrates and can convey and becomes part of them is something that's theirs that they may take credit for and say that it's their possession and that that they own. And Moshe needs to convey here to the Jewish people who he is. Who he is. He is not an insecure person. Who am I to go to Paro? He's this. Hashem is asking him to take on a role that is very, demanding, and yet at the same time to completely remove himself from the role, never see himself as the person playing the role, never expect anything because of it, expect no, you know, and that people and the Klal Yisrael have to understand that about Moshe. That will form their relationship with Moshe. And of course, therefore, we clearly see how Moshe's humility is critical to his role. There could not have been a Moshe playing out this role if he wasn't the most humble man on earth. It's impossible. His humility was not a separate midah. It's part and parcel of his role. And it seems that because Moshe was capable of doing this, he was worthy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusted him with his Torah and gave the Torah through Moshe.
He was Ayin,
correct. Now, I just want to end with this thought. Here in this world, we have physical features, and that is how one person recognizes the other person. We also have many possessions, many things we've acquired over the years. But when we move into the next world, we lose all of that. We don't have a body, we don't have our possessions, we don't have our particular clothing that people recognize us by. So the question is, who are we in the next world? Naked neshamas. How will one person recognize the next person in Olam Haba, which it seems to be everyone knows who each other is. So this applies. What we're speaking about today applies. In the end, a person will have spiritual features that are theirs. They will be clearly identified in the next world. Their neshamas will be unique and identifiable by their spiritual features. And the spiritual features that a person has is the Torah that they've learned, that they've integrated, and that they've expressed in their unique way, their style, their personality, how they were Kiddush Hashem in their life through their abilities and talents. That will be what a person owns, what is truly attributed to a person, what no one can take away from them. And everything else, no matter how great the accomplishment is that a person, whatever person contributes in this world, in the end, the person, as they're accomplishing it, as they're getting their honors for it, the avod of a Jew is to know that it's not theirs at all, just like Moshe. They deserve no credit for it. They make themselves like a shaliach. It's not an easy task. This is the first expectation Hashem has for Moshe. And Moshe must understand this and be able to convey this role, who he is, to Klal Yisrael. And when we begin to understand what Moshe achieved here, we begin to have a sense of awe for Moshe's greatness, what kind of leader Moshe was. Okay, we'll stop here. Do we have any questions? Yes.
Why is a Torah so elusive when conveying something, so that one has to ask and dig and have different opinions? Why couldn't it just say, bo imadi, el paro?
Why doesn't the Torah write in essay form?
Okay.
Okay? And they say, from here we learn, da-da-da-da, right? Well, Rav Hirsch explains that the Torah Shebichsav, he says this in his introduction to his whole Perush on Chumash, right in the beginning of Bereishis. The whole Torah Shebichsav is, in a sense, the notes, just the quick little shorthand notes on the big lecture. Torah Shebaal Peh, which includes all the Midrashim, all the background information, the oral tradition, is the full lecture, and Torah Shebichsav is just the shorthand notes on the lecture. It is never meant to be the full, never meant to represent or teach us the full body of Jewish information. Notice also, the five books of Moshe can hold within them only certain information. They do not hold within them everything about Judaism. They hold within them the first sefer, holds who is the Jew, who are the Jews, how did they evolve, and their bond to Eretz Yisrael. The second sefer is about their receiving the Torah, which makes them chosen, and the third sefer talks about the Mishkan, their highest responsibility. Okay, then we hear some of their challenges, and then the last sefer we hear about the Musar Shmuzim, how to keep their faith, how to keep their strength. It doesn't cover every area of Jewish life at all. It's about something very specific, contained. And the rest we find in oral law. That is the way Torah is written. If you expect to find different things in Torah, you'll be disappointed. Everything is alluded to, but that's not what the Torah is.
And before Moshe, what was the function of the Nevi'im?
Nevi'im before Moshe received Nevuah on their own, like Avraham to get a bris milah, to do a bris milah, okay? Rivka, that she would have the twins. They were prophecies for their own information, for their what Hashem expected from them. They were never, ever instructed to convey anything to other people. Now, Avraham was Korei B'Shem Hashem. He built a Mizbeach, and he would preach and try to missionize, you might say, or convey to people the truth of Hashem. So was Yitzchak. Noach was told to go into the Teva, but he was never says, Daber El, so-and-so, go tell this and this. They were given private prophecies for their own, whatever was necessary for them, and they on their own would try to convey the Hashem's word to others, but never commanded to, because there's a difficulty. When one comes and says, God spoke to me to tell you this, the normal human is skeptical and should be. Well, why didn't God come to me to tell me? Why is he telling you to tell me? Let him tell me directly. And that is what Hashem did with Klai Shol. He told them directly, and they said to Moshe, after the first two Dibros, some say, or after there's disagreement how much they actually heard. Some say all 10, some say 2, some say none. But the experience of Har Sinai was so overwhelming, and they were sure that they had experienced Nevuah. There was no doubt in their mind that they had heard the voice of Hashem somehow. And then they said to Moshe, this is too much for us. Please, you go, you listen to Hashem, and you come back and tell us what he said. But they only said that after they heard Moshe become a Navi, because they heard God speak to Moshe. They overheard, you might say. So Hashem did elevate all Klal Yisrael. He told Moshe in Mishpatim, you come stand here on the mountain, Bavor Yishma Ha'am Bedabri Imach, so that the nation should hear me speak to you, V'gam Becha Yaminu La'olam, and then they'll trust you forever. That's the pasuk. Bavor Yishma Ha'am Bedabri Imach, I want the nation to hear me speak to you. Once that was established, we could trust Moshe.
And what in the tefillah does this correlate to?
It correlates to the bracha before Shema of Yotzer HaMa'oros. We said that it correlates to this whole sequence of phrases that attribute all human accomplishment directly to God. Yes.
Earlier on you mentioned that Hashem developed in Moshe the ability for self-negation. What does that mean? Does that mean that
Hashem,
limited bechira?
No. It seems to be that Hashem is choosing Moshe. One of the necessities of the job, and that's what Moshe is questioning here. Mi anochi, how am I your substitute? And you promised to take them out b'shem anochi, and now you're asking me, so I must just kind of disappear or dissolve in your allow you to completely work through me, because you promised anochi, so my whole existence becomes nullified before you, and still it is Anochi, though you're working through me. So Hashem asked Moshe to be able to achieve this. Basically, he said, this is what I want from you. This is the nature of the job. It's Anochi, but I'm using you. Now, we asked, so why use Moshe at all? So I'm suggesting that perhaps this was critical for Moshe to become Moshe Rabbeinu. Without this utter self-negation of knowing that it's Anochi functioning, and somehow Moshe is just the outer framework for it somehow, he could then be trusted to convey the Torah correctly.
What I find difficult is that the whole Bechira piece, that it seems that with all the other great leaders that came before, from Adam HaRishon, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu had almost like a tutor for Bechira, that Hashem spoke to him and said, okay, this is what you have to do, you have to be self-negation. So what happened to Avram Avinu? He could have also been the one.
Yes. You're asking, obviously, the story of Moshe is the story of someone who rose up to the challenge, and it was no simple feat. Everyone has Bechira. And Moshe's Bechira was to make sure that in this whole long process of speaking on behalf of God, of letting Hashem speak through his mouth, that he would never at any point feel that it was him, that he did something.
But he already had, Hashem created every, him with another, that he had that.
Who says Hashem created him with humility? Who says? He was worthy of this shlichus because he obviously had developed Anava to such a degree. Look, there's no question that Moshe was born with extraordinary talents. Obviously, because the Torah tells us that when he was born, the house was filled with light. We're not speaking about an average person. There's no way Moshe was like an average person. He was extraordinary, certainly in his intelligence, in his spiritual abilities, in his leadership qualities. He was extraordinary. However, his moral qualities, like to become an anav, these a person is must work on. And Hashem obviously chose Moshe because he felt he was worthy. He was capable of such a shlichus, of allowing Hashem to basically overwhelm him. And I don't want to use the word, live within him, because that's too, as it makes us feel a little bit too Christian that there's God in the human. But to basically, Moshe becomes just like the shell. In politics they say things have, there's transparency. You need transparency. Moshe becomes like the transparent, shell that Hashem is working through. And but I wouldn't say that he was born with the anava. There's no reason to say that. We have to assume people's greatness is a product of their own hard work. Okay, everyone, have a good week.